I will be declaring a public health emergency on monkeypox.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. And this is Secretary of Health and Human Services Javier Becerra last week.
We're prepared to take our response to the next level in addressing this virus. And we urge every American to take monkeypox seriously and to take responsibility to help us tackle this virus.
Currently, there are around 9,000 known cases in the U.S., with over 90% occurring among men who reported recently having sex or intimate contact with other men. Now, according to a Health and Human Services press release, the emergency declaration is intended to help accelerate the Biden administration's response to the virus, including expanded access to vaccinations and testing. The Biden administration has taken steps to increase the supply of Jynneos. It's the only approved monkeypox vaccine in the U.S. But according to the Washington Post, the U.S. only has enough full two-dose vaccines for about one-third of the people who are considered most at risk. That's men who have sex with men. And no new supply is expected before October. The New York Times reports that the shortage is due in part to the fact that millions of doses in the Strategic National Stockpile were allowed to expire. And the U.S., which has poured nearly $2 billion into developing an MPXV vaccine, has stockpiled only raw vaccine. In other words, they're in containers that aren't bottled for individual use. Against that backdrop, a new report in the Times says that the administration has decided to recommend a new method of vaccination, intradermal injection, which uses just one-fifth of a dose into the skin rather than a full dose into the underlying fat in order to stretch the supply. But after last week's public health emergency declaration, it was another announcement from the Biden administration that caught my eye. Dr. Alondra Nelson, acting director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, along with several of her colleagues, published a statement calling for research about monkeypox to be shared openly among academics from different nations. Leaders from 20 different countries partnered with Dr. Nelson on this request. It was their demand that made me want to understand and know more about the importance of sharing data during a public health crisis. So here with me now is Dr. Alondra Nelson. Dr. Nelson, thanks for coming back on The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me, Melissa.
All right, I just want to start first with terminology. We heard there from the secretary the language of monkeypox. I think that's kind of the colloquial. But I know there was also a bit of a movement to start using the language MPXV. Where should we, in media, in our conversations, what terminology should we be using?
I think that, you know, communities should use whatever name makes most sense to them.
I want to, part of the reason I start with just the terminology was an experience I had this weekend and taking my daughter back to college. And she said to me, Mom, are you sure I should be going back to campus and back to a college campus? Because, you know, now that monkeypox has been declared as a public health emergency, you know, aren't we returning at this moment basically to the COVID experience that I'd had, right, that she'd had as a first year student in college? And I thought, oh, no, I'm sure it's quite different than that. Let's sit down and take a look at the research together to put your mind at ease. And then it turned out that simply sitting down to find the facts was a little harder than I expected. So maybe you can just help me and other parents or caregivers or just folks moving around in the world to understand what are some of the basic facts we know? And then when you and your colleagues were asking for research, what are some of the pieces that we're still looking to try to understand?
Yeah, so, you know, monkeypox is a different kind of virus from COVID, and it is not as transmissible, right? So it's spread through close contact, skin touching skin, very close face-to-face contact, touching objects that have had prolonged contact with the skin of somebody who's been infected with monkeypox, like sheets or towels. So, you know, the headline here is that we don't need to do lockdowns or avoid public spaces. We just need to be aware that this is a new risk factor in our lives, and we need to take precautions. You know, anyone can get it, you know, and you know, if you think you might have it, it is the case that you should isolate so you don't spread it, and you should, you know, try to get testing. And if you can't isolate, you could, you know, wear long sleeves or pants to cover your skin, or you know, any kind of lesions that you might have to reduce the help reduce the risk of spread. So there's still more that we need to know about it, but it is not as transmissible in the same way as COVID.
And yet it is a public health crisis. So help me to understand sort of in your role and yours and then the role of your colleagues and counterparts, both in other parts of the federal government as well as abroad. What is it that you all are asking for when you are sort of making this plea for research to become sort of widely shared as a way of addressing a public health crisis?
Sure. So my office, the Office of Science and Technology Policy, you know, works more in the space of galvanizing research. And this is what we've done in asking, calling on the international publishing community to make research more readily accessible and available. So, you know, monkeypox is at this critical juncture. It has been endemic in a few places, and now it is spreading relatively rapidly and in new places around the world. And, you know, so you began with my colleague, Secretary Becerra, and the Department of Health and Human Services is moving rapidly in the day-to-day to really mitigate and contain the risks of the disease. As a complement to that, and as part of the Biden-Harris administration's response to monkeypox, my office, given the urgency of the situation, has taken a couple of steps in recent weeks. One is that in July, we organized a monkeypox research priorities team, understanding that, you know, that as this disease is spreading, that we need to know much more about it. And we organized experts from across the U.S. government to outline a set of research priorities that can, we hope, accelerate the science and enable both the United States and communities around the world to have a better response, a more informed response to the outbreak. And then, as you mentioned, we also, as part of these research priorities, have called on, we coordinated 20 allies and partners to science and technology leaders, including colleagues from Australia, Nigeria, South Africa, the UK, Italy, Japan, and others, to call on the publishing community to make this research more accessible. It is an international effort, and we hope that making results and data related to monkeypox more immediately available will mean that we will unlock research that can help accelerate scientific discovery and ultimately improve health. And in response to that call, we've been really gratified that the publishing community has really responded. So the Journal of the American Medical Association, Nature, the New England Journal of Medicine and Science, just in the US alone, as well as the National Library of Medicine, have all you know, committed to making this monkeypox related research available and publicly accessible.
Okay. One of the things that we heard repeatedly from researchers, from epidemiologists, public health professionals during COVID-19 was that a focus on individual symptoms and an individual vulnerability to COVID-19 would sometimes lead us to miss the ways that COVID-19 was moving down the vectors of pre-existing inequities, right? So African-American communities, Latino communities, those who worked on front lines, right, having these increased vulnerabilities. In the case of monkeypox, we have what feels to me like a bit of an uncomfortable public conversation, either happening or not happening, in part because of what we know here, that in the past, right, HIV/AIDS was stigmatized as a result of the vector of inequality that it moved down initially, right? Initially among men who have sex with men, and then into other communities also stigmatized. How important is it for us to, on the one hand, address the realities of the most vulnerable communities, but also not generate sort of a disinterest in monkeypox and in its capacity to spread by talking about the communities where at the moment it is most concentrated?
I think, Melissa, you really articulate the the, you know, the line that we need to walk really clearly. I mean, it is the case that, you know, there is a particular impact on LGBTQ IA communities right now, and particularly men who have sex with men. And so, of course, we need to really invest our resources. We need to make sure that that community is being engaged and brought as a partner into the response that's taking place right now. But one of the lessons that we've learned from HIV/AIDS decades on is that, you know, infectious diseases, viruses travel through whole communities ultimately. And so while we need to focus on the particular community right now, it's also the case that, you know, that monkeypox could, you know, can impact any of us. And so that we're going to need to have, you know, a really collective response here.
Apparently, there's a current shortage of vaccines, mostly because of packaging. Is that right? Just do you have a sense of how we ended up so short? Is this a sense of having felt like we were invulnerable? What happened here?
You know, I think, you know, I would refer you to my colleagues at the Department of Health and Human Services. But as I understand it, you know, we had some vaccines in a stockpile that expired. And then we have some vaccines that we have, you know, all of the raw materials that we need to produce them that need to be refined and finalized so they can be distributed. And that is, you know, part of what Secretary Becerra and his leadership and declaring a public health emergency is allowing, is for all of this to accelerate more quickly. So all of that is happening. And then, as you suggested, you know, there are part of why we need, you know, more research is to, in fact, think about, are there different ways to distribute and also, you know, inject vaccines? Are there different techniques? Are there different vaccines and different dosages that might work to mitigate the disease? And so we're, you know, working urgently on kind of parallel tracks here, the urgent response that HHS is leading, as well as our new colleagues and the monkeypox, the White House monkeypox response office that was stood up in the last week. And also thinking about these research innovation and other pieces and pivoting to do that quite you know, as quickly as we possibly can. You know, this is why it's critical that the response and research kind of work hand in hand, that allow us to do, to the extent that we can, kind of real time kind of innovation and pivoting to get people the care that they need.
Dr. Alondra Nelson, Acting Director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Melissa.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.